Well, for those of you who are visitors, you've come into about part 12 of the series, so I hope you can join in. We are looking to engage God in an experiential way. My personal testimony is of having engaged God in the heavens and experienced heaven and different things. You know, we're on a journey to discover how we can engage in the realm of the Spirit. That realm is within us, as the kingdom is in us. It's also in the realms of heaven. There are two pathways that we're going to follow. Pathway of relationship, which leads to deeper intimacy with God, but also a pathway of responsibility, which enables us to rule and bring God's kingdom in a fuller way. We've been at Base Camp before we start this journey. And at Base Camp, we've looked at how to build our spirit so that our spirit can engage with God. Because we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, but our spirit is what enables us to engage in those spiritual realms. So we've looked at praying in tongues, different ways, so that we can build our spirit and engage in the realm of the Spirit. We've looked at how to meditate in the Word of God, to hear the thoughts of God, and to get God's thoughts in conversation so we can talk to Him and have a conversation with Him. And last week we looked at opening the eyes of our heart, which is our imagination, to engage God on the screen in which He projects things to us. And we're going to continue with that today. So we looked at the visual part of that, what the technical side of it is, how we see with the eyes of our heart. And we're going to look at how we look into the Word of God today. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. So there's four things there. Recognizing God's voice as spontaneous thoughts in our minds. Being quiet so we can hear. Looking for vision and then writing down the flow of thoughts or the vision that we receive so that we can then revisit it and use that doorway to engage further into the experience of it. So the third point there, fixing your eyes of your heart on Jesus, so we can look into the realm of the Spirit for dreams and visions of God. Habakkuk basically said, I will keep watch to see. So we're unlikely to be able to see anything unless we look for it. And God wants us to look for vision. He wants us to look into the things that He wants to show us. Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. Now, that may have been visual in that He saw it as a vision or perception, that He perceived what the Father was doing, but He was able to see. So Habakkuk there opened the eyes of his heart to look into that spirit world. And people have a problem with looking into the spiritual world. Well, that's the spiritual world where God lives. He is a spirit and He dwells in a spiritual realm. And He's, of course, we're spirit and we've got access to that spiritual realm. So vision, either seeing or perceiving. Now we open our eyes to see physically. If your eyes are closed, it's pretty much black until you learn to open that blackness to see into something else, which we'll look at next week. But if we want to see into the realm of the Spirit, then we need to open the eyes of our heart for that spiritual vision. Visions, dreams, prophetic pictures is some of the ways God communicates with us. But we have to activate our imagination to see into that realm. The imagination is the screen on which we see everything in our mind. And God has given us that imagination. And it's a very, very powerful thing that He's given us, because God used His imagination to create the whole universe. He said what He saw, and He saw what was in His heart because He pictured it. And we can see in the realm of the Spirit around us. There are angels in this room. There's a spiritual realm here which is not visible to our natural eyes because it operates at a different electromagnetic wavelength, but our spirits can pick it up. And our spirits can pick up lots of things. So can our soul. Sometimes we walk into a room and it feels an atmosphere in the room. Where do we get that sense from? We just need to learn to attune that sense so that we can actually deliberately choose to see what's going on around us in the spiritual realms. But in order to see, we've got to look. Daniel 7:2 says, I was looking in my vision. So he was having a vision, but he was looking in it. And verse 9 says, I kept looking. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold. So he saw something. And God wants us to see. So we need to look if we're going to see. He saw that vision in his mind, because that is where visions come from. Even if you have an open-eyed vision, it's still pictured in your mind, as you are right now in natural eyesight. I'm seeing you in my mind. Even though you are there, the light is coming into my eye and the actual image is being interpreted in my mind. It's exactly the same with the things of the Spirit. So we need to look for Jesus. And then when we see him, we can then watch and see what he shows us. Because we need a personal relationship. It's not just Jesus died 2,000 years ago on a cross to set us free. Jesus is alive and with us today. So if I sit in the car and I'm driving somewhere on my own, what's wrong in thinking about Jesus sat next to me so I can have a conversation with him? Now, we know that he's in us. He's with us, he's around us, and he wants us to actually personally experience him in that way, having a real relationship with him. So it's not that God is a million miles away somewhere in some spiritual realm in heaven. He is right in front of us, and we can engage in that realm. So there are many different ways God speaks, and there's a list of them here. I'm not going to go into the scriptures, but they're there for reference. Audible voice. Sometimes God speaks out loud. Sometimes he speaks in an inner voice in our heart. Visions and revelations of Jesus. Paul saw Jesus. Spiritual perception. Again, panoramic vision. Sometimes it's just like a full technicolor vision. Open-eyed vision, where your eyes are open, but actually something is superimposed over the natural vision so that you can't see the natural world around you. Closed-eye vision. Again, you know, close your eyes and God can give you a vision. Sometimes you just get a snapshot, picture. And we often start with pictures. That's usually where God begins to engage with us, and we get little glimpses or little snapshots of things that we have to learn to look into and then step into. Because quite often we miss those little glimpses because we don't value them or we didn't really understand what they were. Well, I encourage you, when you get a snapshot or a impression or a picture in your mind, then don't just dismiss it. Look to engage and step into it and actually start to think about it and start to picture it and engage it, because that's what he's given it for, so we can find out what is it he's trying to say to us. If there's a picture of something, what does that picture mean? What does it mean to me? Is it for me? Is it for somebody else? Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, sometimes they come in a pictorial form, but you have to interpret that. So looking into it's important. Sometimes we can have an open-eyed spiritual vision, and that's what you learn to do when you see in the realm of the spirit around with your spiritual eyes, and we'll look at that next week. So right now, you know, if I choose to engage that vision, then I can see the angels, and I can see in the spiritual realm, and I can see what's going on. You just have to learn to tune into it. There are dreams. God does speak to us in dreams. Actually, appearances, he turns up. Like in the Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses turned up. Angelic visitations. There are angels that come and visit us. They're all ways God can speak. Trances, you know, that the whole trance that Peter entered into on the roof changed the whole course of Christianity, because it opened up the way for Gentiles to come into one man with God. Being translated in the Spirit, like being taken into another spiritual realm. Paul didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. So he wasn't sure, was this a total body translation or was it just his spirit taken? Ezekiel was taken, it says, by a lock of his hair and pulled and shown Jerusalem. Now, I guess his body stayed with the elders by the river and his spirit was somewhere else. I always wonder what they thought. Did he carry on speaking to them? Or was he just there? And they didn't know where he was. You know, it's like some of these things, they happened in the Bible. We just need to learn to engage them. You know, Philip was transported physically from one place to another, trans-relocation. All these things are things that we can begin to experience today. Now, I've got a list of scriptures there, which are for meditation. Where do I start? What sort of scriptures do I use to think about and meditate on so I can experience them? Well, there's a load of them there. You know, Ephesians 1, about the eyes of our heart. Well, start thinking about the eyes of your heart being open. What does it mean to have it enlightened so that you can see? If Psalm 23, if there's one scripture I would encourage everyone to meditate in, it's Psalm 23. You can get virtually everything you need from Psalm 23 in terms of relationship with God. And it's so deep and so much there and just levels upon levels of revelation. But scriptures like John 4, drinking living water. John 7, rivers of living water flowing. Matthew 11, coming to Jesus when we're burdened and heavy laden and finding rest. Galatians 2, 20, about Christ living in us and the relationship we have. Hebrews 4, 16, going to the throne of grace. You know, so often these scriptures are used as analogies or pictures of something which is actually real. There is a throne of grace, and we can go to it. Now, that has been a euphemism for praying and hoping God hears our prayers. The reality is there is a literal throne of grace, and we can actually literally come boldly to it with confidence, because God's invited us. Revelation 3:20, Jesus knocking on the door in our spirit, wanting to come in. And Revelation 4:1-2, heaven's door open, so we can step into heaven through that open door. And those are all just some scriptures. If you want to know where to start, just start with some of those and just begin to meditate in them, think about them, as we've learned when we talked about meditation. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for whom has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? Now, when we're talking about knowledge, we don't mean intellectual knowledge. We mean personal experience. Biblical understanding of knowledge was always experience. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, who and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. So when we're engaging with Jesus personally, it's a real experience where he reveals himself. He gives us revelation of his heart for us and for his purposes for us. So that's really why Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, opened, so that you will know. Know what? Know Jesus. Know God. Know the Father. Know our destiny. Know the feelings and the purposes of God's heart for us. Know his heart. So many things he wants us to know. Psalm 139, know the vast sum of the thoughts that he has for us, about us. Those thoughts is what he shaped us in eternity and created our spirits to engage. So the eyes of our heart is our imagination, and we mustn't be afraid of using our imagination. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. That's what we do with our imagination. We fix our eyes on what isn't seen. So we're not looking around for natural things and looking at that, although that can be an entrance point into it. We're looking into the things that aren't seen. Now, this room is filled with things that aren't seen. There are lots of spiritual things here that aren't seen with our natural eyes. There's also lots of other things that aren't seen. You can't see the atoms of the air, but we know they're there, otherwise we'd be dead. So there are things here that you can't see, but you experience all the same. You know, there are radio waves. You know, we are picking up a Wi-Fi signal, which is broadcasting this thing on the internet. You can't see that, but other people can experience that in other parts of the world. They're picking it up through a receiver. Our spirit, our soul, needs to engage as a receiver. So we need to be able to look at the unseen with the eyes of our heart, our imagination, because that pictures it and opens it up for us to engage in it. Now, we have to be careful what we imagine, because that imagination is a link to the realm of the spirit. It's a bridge between the soul and the spirit. So what we picture and what we imagine is important. You know, there isn't another way to focus without using your imagination. That is what God's given us. If we try and use something else, then we're using something that's illegitimate. We've got to be careful, because it does connect us to the realm of the spirit. So what you focus on will connect you. So let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on him. And if we focus on him, we will become more like him. And that's the point of this. Beholding and becoming. The more we look at the things of the Spirit, the more we become transformed into those things. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So if we look into these things, we become like them. So if we want to know how do we become more like Jesus, then look at him. Look at the words about his life. Enter into those truths and experience him in actual real knowledge, not just intellectual understanding. You know, where we sang a song last week, you know, I don't want to sing like you're not in the room. And it's like, he is in the room. So I don't want to talk to him like he's not here, like he's somewhere else. So I need to engage the fact that he is with me, he is around us, and we can speak to him. And when we begin to look at him that way, then we will begin to be transformed from one degree of glory to another, it says. But we have to look. You know, you can't just look and a fleeting glance. It has to be intimacy, looking into his eyes, into his face. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So that is where we fix our eyes. That's where we look into in Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. So if you want to live in perfect peace, wholeness, completeness, shalom, and that word has a huge depth of understanding. If you want to live in that perfect peace, then fix your eyes on him. Activate the eyes of your heart. Experience him. That's the right use of our imagination. Once you've actually learned to focus that way, you can begin to see the things where he talks about where he is in heaven, where the throne of grace is, where the tree of life is, where the river of life is, where the different things are in the realms of heaven. You can begin to engage him where he is rather than just him being here, which is great, him being on the inside of us, which is wonderful, but actually we can also go where he is in the realms of heaven. So we can cross that bridge from our imagination into that dimension of the Spirit and begin to live there. Because that's what Jesus did. He was there and here at the same time. His Spirit was continually connected to that realm. Read that in John 3:13. Now, it may be difficult to start with. Sometimes we have to practice. But if you persevere, everyone will be able to do it. There's no one who could have been more left-brained than me. You know, logical, analytical, non-visual. But when God got hold of my heart to meditate in the Word of God and to see the Word of God and to hear him speaking to me and then to develop that into seeing into the realm of the Spirit and then going into the realm of the Spirit into heaven, it all started with practice. It's taken me years to practice, but I can teach you to do it in weeks and months if you persevere. You know, just don't give up. Keep practicing. Hebrews 5:14. You know, it is, we become mature because we train our senses through practice to discern. And we have to continue with it. So look at, gaze upon, fix your eyes on. So we meditate in the Word to engage the Word of God, to experience the Word, and then enter into the Word. There's a process. So we can look at objects in the Word of God. And that's why I've been using certain objects, because they help us engage. We can look at people, doors, rivers, waterfalls, Jesus, the Father. They're all in the Word of God. And if we begin to look at them there with the eyes of our heart, then we can begin to enter into it. And they become doorways then to encountering it, which I mean experiencing it. And so we can engage the picture and then enter into the experience of the picture. And so that's why I've used natural images to stimulate our imagination. When we practice this, we use the door. Now, the reason we use the door, because doorways will be on this journey really, really important. There are many doorways we will have to enter into. There are doorways in our spirit and soul, which we will need to engage in. There are doorways or portals into the realms of heaven, which we will need to engage in. Same doorways that Jacob engaged with at the top of the ladder, that John engaged with in the realms of heaven, there are many doorways. So activating our imagination around a picture of a door is a really helpful thing. Because when you need to step in through a door, then it will already be there for you to step into. Same with rivers. You know, the river of life is flowing out of heaven and flowing into our spirit, and it's supposed to flow through our soul and out through our body around us to create an atmosphere of the glory of God and the presence of God around our lives. Rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. So picturing a river, being able to engage in the river of life, is really important. So we then use those doorways in the Word of God to experience those things. So we enter into the picture, and then the story becomes personal to us. See, when I first started to engage these things, you know, I started to think about what Jesus was doing, like sitting down with his disciples and talking to them. And as I began to sit down with his disciples and talk with him, he then talked to me. I pictured the scene and began to imagine myself sitting down with Jesus, talking to him. And then I was surprised one day when he looked at me, you know, and he could see me in this picture, which was a really precious thing, because it opened up that realm. But I practiced it. So looking to the Word of God, to see it, experience the Word, enter into the Word, go through the Word as a doorway to the reality that the Word reveals, experience and live in the reality of those realms of the spiritual world. The imagination is the screen and the gateway to that. And just looking at this as a picture, if you see a screen, you need something projected onto it. Now, some screens you can project on the front of the screen, and sometimes you can project on the rear of the screen. And you can see, depending on what sort of screen it is. So our screen, our imagination, is designed to have projections from the front and the rear of it, if you like. But it's also a curtain or a portal to look into it with the eyes of our spirit. And next week we're going to look at how we pull back that curtain, which is black, because we've not been taught how to see, so that we can actually look into that realm. Now, Romans 8:5 says this: for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but for those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So the imagination, that which we set our mind on, is a portal to death or life and peace. Now, some of you guys who have been battling addictions, you know the power of the thoughts and the memories of your past. That it can trigger a reaction and a euphoric reaction that will cause you to enter back into it. It's a dangerous thing to begin to think about some of your past experiences, because it can lead you into a death trap. But if you think about the positive experiences, then it can lead you into life and peace, because that's where we fix our eyes. So it's really important to learn how we engage our imagination and focus on the right things. Set our minds on the right things, not the wrong things. And learn to take captive the wrong thoughts and don't fix your eyes on them. Someone, I can't remember who said this, but it's an old sort of proverb thing. You know, you can't stop birds flying around your head, but you can stop them nesting in your hair. For those of you who've got hair. So you don't have to let a thought become an imagination and then an experience. You can stop it by taking captive, is this thought coming from God, and is this thought going to lead me into life, or is this thought going to lead me down the wrong path? And use that, because imagination is such a powerful thing. What we look at becomes light to us, in other words, revelation, both positive and negative. So let's focus on the positive. You know, light contains so much. You know, it says God is light. Now, I haven't got time to go into the quantum mechanics of light, but it contains encoded information. You know, you can have fiber optics that carry huge amounts of data. So light contains information that, when we tune into that information, can bring revelation to our souls and spirit. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if we want to know where we are and where we're going, then we can use the truth that's contained within the Word of God that we experience to lead us into it. So we can look and see the path, and we can find the way by opening up the eyes of our heart to experience these things. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Know me. And that's so important. We need to know him. Psalm 103:7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. There's a huge difference between knowing what God does and knowing him and his ways. And God wants us to go from being good stewards of the things that he does into being friends to engage. Because Jesus said to his disciples, I'm no longer going to call you servants. You're my friends. You need to go deeper into relationship to be a friend than just being a servant who does what he's told. Because God can tell us what to do, but he wants us to know his heart and know his character and know him so that we are entering into relationship. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So if we're to follow him, where is he? How can we follow him unless we know where he is? Well, this is a scripture that talks about where he is, in one sense. Ephesians 1:20. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named. So this is an actual place of position of authority as well as a place in the realms of heaven. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. So Jesus is looking for a church that looks like him. That's his body. He's not looking for a weak, miserable, horrible church that doesn't look like him. So he's looking for something that's a reflection of him on earth as it is in heaven, where he is. Then it says this, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God's fullness, Jesus' fullness, he has a desire to fill us and to fill his church with him. To fill his church with his glory in a totally different dimension than we're experiencing it right now. It is coming. But we have to learn how to engage him so that we are a reflection or a pattern or a shadow on earth of what it looks like in heaven. So we need to follow him into heaven. Ephesians 2:6, he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Again, this is not just a theoretical verse. It is a true verse, and we can experience this as we follow him. Because Jesus goes on in John 10 to say, he leads us in and out. So he takes us into heaven and he takes us out of heaven. We can step in and we can step out of heaven because we're seated in that place. We have authority in the heavenly realms. And he wants us to follow him there and to follow him out of there. So where he is, we can be. How? Having the eyes of our heart opened so that we can look and see that realm and step into it. This follows on, that verse and passage of where Jesus is, follows on from this really important passage in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Paul saw how important it was that the eyes of our heart, our imagination, was opened. If we're going to know our inheritance, if we're going to know our calling, if we're going to know where we are seated in the realms of heaven, it's absolutely vital that we engage in our imagination. So we know him, we can be like him, we can do the things that he does. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. The Spirit of God is in us, and it wants to testify, it wants to come into agreement about something, that we're children of God. And if children, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So where Christ is seated above all authority, we are a fellow heir or a joint heir with him, with that authority. It's really important to know that. If we're going to rule and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we need to know our authority as children of God. We're not servants. We have an attitude as a servant, as Jesus did, as the servant king, but we're kings. We're royal priests. We've been given authority in the realms of heaven. Now God is opening up those realms so that we can experience that authority in reality and engage it and manifest it here on earth. Key is to keep our eyes fixed on him. You cannot separate knowing, hearing God's voice from knowing him who's speaking. He wants us to have a relationship. So knowing by experience isn't intellectual or just by reason or study. It's by personal encounter. Knowing and hearing has to lead to following obedience. It's absolutely pointless hearing what God says if we're not willing to do what he says. Because his will is the perfect will for our life. His calling and his destiny in our life are the perfect things for us to live out. Both here in this realm and into the realms of eternity, we have a purpose and calling in God. We need to know it. So we must become like him. And we know the deeper levels of becoming like him that we've gone into in the past. So that we can do the works that he did and do greater works than these. Now, I want to just finish there, but we're going to now do some practicing of engaging, opening the eyes of our heart. To do that, again, is to relax. And I'd encourage you to close your eyes. If you need a visual kickstart to engaging something, there will be some pictures on the screen that you can look at. But I would encourage you just to close your eyes. When we engage our imagination, we begin to think about something and then we begin to picture it. We can use a natural thing, use the word of God. We're going to use some specific things. So first of all, we're just going to prepare our spirits as we've learned to in the past by praying in tongues. So I encourage you either pray in tongues out loud, pray in tongues in your heart, in your mind, pray in tongues in your spirit. And as you're praying in tongues, we'll just do that for a few minutes. Just become still. Still your mind from all the thoughts that are going on and just begin to focus and fix your eyes on Jesus. Just begin to think about Jesus as you're praying in tongues. Yashi arandariandaro kutisharandaro shuma arandaro shuma arandaro shuma ariandaro ma ariandaro ma ariandaro shuma karindiaro shuma Kaya shuma kaiti kataro shuma la la la. Arindiaro ma la 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 la. Yashuma la. Now I just want to encourage you to think about a door. Just think about a door. Think about the color, the size, the shape, the handle on the door, what sort of door it is. Just start thinking about that door. And as you're thinking about it, begin to picture that door in your mind on the screen of your imagination. You might think of your back door or your front door, or just think about creating another door. But just start thinking about a door. Now, as you're picturing that door, I just want you to think about what's behind the door. And what's behind the door is a green pasture. It's a door or a gateway to a green pasture. Now, just start thinking about and picturing that green pasture. Now just reach out with your hand in your imagination and open the door that you've been seeing and walk through that door into the green pasture. Now just see yourself walking in that green pasture. Just lie down in the green pasture, just from Psalm 23. Lie down in the green pasture. Just feel relaxed and feel the peace of God all around you. Place of rest. Place of peace. Place of love. Place of joy. Just sense that with your feelings. Just think about Jesus as the shepherd, Jesus as your shepherd, just coming and sitting next to you in this green pasture, and just begin to talk to him. Listen to what he wants to say to you and begin a conversation with him. You may want to just stay in that place of peace, rest, talking with Jesus. That's fine, just stay there. For those of you who want to just engage in another encounter, then Matthew 24:3 says this, "And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us.'" So I want you just to picture Jesus sitting, talking with his disciples. Just begin to think about that scene. Jesus is sat with his disciples round him, and they're asking him things. Jesus is explaining things to them about the past, and the present, and the future. As you're thinking about that scene, as you're picturing that scene, just enter into that scene. Just sit down in your imagination, in that picture, just in your spirit. Just sit down with Jesus and his disciples. And just ask him something about your past or your present or your future. If you want to stay there, please feel free just to stay in that encounter. For those who want to engage in something else into the scripture, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Does this encourage you just to think about Jesus, just right in front of you right now where you are, where you're seated? Just think about any burdens, any weights, any expectations that have been heavy upon you, weighing you down, wearing you out. Just think about those things. Think about those things where you may be yoked to something, tied to something, chained to something that you've not been able to become free of. Jesus is just standing before you right now, just waiting for you to give him those burdens, to give him permission to remove those yokes, to loose those tethers, and to break those chains. Just see him standing before you right now. Just cast all those burdens onto him. Just feel him lift the heavy burden off your shoulders and feel the lightness and the joy and the peace that comes to your spirit. If you feel that you're chained, allow him to break those chains and to set you free. Just feel Jesus give you a huge hug. Just experience his love, his warmth. Just experience just the deep heart he has for you. For you to experience being like him. Just feel his heart of love for you. Just let it envelop you as his arms just go around you, bringing healing to those past memories. Bringing freedom into your life. Setting you free from the need to perform, to earn his love and favor. Setting you free from religious obligation into the joy of relationship with him. Just feel the freedom that he brings to your heart as he just expresses his love to you, as he embraces you. just prepare your hearts for wherever you are in those encounters. Just keep that as a testimony. If you journal in it, write it down so that you can use that as a doorway to revisit and to experience that again. Okay, now I would encourage you just to practice those things. Find other scriptures that you relate to personally yourself, that are important to you, things maybe that God has highlighted to you in the past. Don't just have them like I used to do as highlighted or underlined verses in my Bible. Actually enter into and step into those special scriptures, those special verses, the special things that God has spoken to you about before, so that you can get the fullness out of them, so that you can draw deeply out of each truth that's contained within it, so you can experience it. But just keep practicing.